At the Kyoto Climate Conference all those years ago, back in 1997, there were about 8,000 people attending. In Copenhagen, at the 2009 Copenhagen Conference, or the parties, which is otherwise shortened to COP, there were 29,000 people in and around the place. At the end of this month, the UN Paris Climate Conference will have 40,000 people in attendance, which raises the question, how on earth, pardon the pun, can consensus be reached? Robert Hill has probably a more informed position on this question than most of us. He was John Howard's Environment Minister who negotiated Australia's Kyoto deal. He's speaking here with RN's Robin Williams about the 40,000 people who'll soon be arriving in Paris.
Of course, most of the 40,000 doesn't ever get into the inner circle, but their presence indicates a broad public interest in the issues. It's a good thing in the sense that people feel that they want to participate, and they get to participate in a lot of the side events which tend to be relating to the sort of programs that need to be implemented to actually bring about change. So some will be focusing on reforestation, some on soil carbon, some on the built environment, and so it goes on.
So it's not simply a milling around, in other words, a gigantic junket, as some newspapers suggest.
No, well, most of the 40,000 would have paid for themselves, and they're going there because they feel that they are making a contribution, they want to contribute to better outcomes. So, no, I don't see it as a junket.
Now, this time they've done something slightly different with the timing itself, so that you've got many of the leaders arriving early rather than, if you like, at the last minute, so that there's a kind of extended drama. Will there be a decision or will there not? So do you think that's a good move?
This time it's entirely different because the design is not to lead to an outcome on targets. The targets are now voluntary targets, and leaders will come on the first day and confirm the target that they're prepared to accept, and then they'll leave. Whereas Copenhagen, they came on the last day and couldn't reach agreement, and the whole thing fell apart. Well, France wasn't going to fall into the same mistake. So the targets will be known from the beginning, and then the rest of the conference, as far as it is an agreement between nation states, will be looking at issues such as whether it can be enforceable, transfers of technology, and particularly its finance for developing world to adopt green technologies.
How did you find Kyoto yourself when you turned up as an environment minister representing Australia?
Well, Kyoto was much more serious, I guess, in terms of national interest, because there was to be determined for you a target which was going to be legally binding, and you knew that target would have economic consequences. So it only applied to the industrialised countries. There was an overall saving in carbon determined, and then it was a question as to what each of the industrialised countries would accept to achieve that target. So you didn't quite know what would be the outcome until the last moment, when the targets were read out by the chairman and the gavel was brought down before anyone had a chance to stand up and object. But, of course, it doesn't quite work like that, because we'd all pre-negotiated our targets, but still there was an element of uncertainty and tension in the air, and it was quite dramatic.
Well, legend has it that you, like a poker player, held out to the last moment and did this wonderful deal for Australia. Are you implying that wasn't quite the case?
Well, I've never quite expressed it like that, but what we had determined is what we could afford, taking into account that carbon abatement costs in Australia were very high. You know, we built our economy on cheap coal and large transport costs, and also a strong agricultural bias. So costs of abatement were comparatively very high. But we'd determined a target that we believe we could meet, and we stuck with that target, and the COP agreed to our figure. And the best thing about it was that Australia actually achieved its target within the time frame. So we're one of the few countries in the world that's actually achieved a target that's been set for us at a COP.
Well, it was suggested that we actually got away with quite a lot, in the sense that the concessions that you got for clearing of land were terribly generous.
Well, no, not in those terms. What we also negotiated was the language. And we negotiated a clause which came to be known as the Australia Clause, which dealt with the issue of land clearing. Land clearing in Australia is different to the rest of the world. The Europeans can't get their head around Australian scrub, and therefore didn't want to agree to stopping clearing of scrub being allowed. But The facts were that land clearing in Australia was contributing significantly to Australia's greenhouse emissions. In many ways, our emissions profile was closer to that of a developing country than a developed country. And when we finally convinced them of that, we got the Australia clause we needed. We got our target, which was plus eight at that point, and so it ended. But people said that plus eight was high. Well, it's on the face of it, you'd say it's higher than others, but the concept was that we would all equally share the burden. So that was the challenge, to try and work out what was a fair distribution of the burden among the industrialised countries.
Given the time that's elapsed since Kyoto and some of the dire predictions from some quarters, some of the scientists about climate change, what do you think must come out of Paris this time?
Well, in an ideal world, I would like an outcome whereby the international community, and we have got to the stage now where we're looking for an agreement between all nation states, not just the industrialised world. That's become essential because the big developing countries are now very major emitters. You know, I'd like the aggregate of the bids of the nation states to amount to something that would keep climate change under the 2-degree figure. I don't think we're going to achieve that, but it's going to be a much better outcome than we've had in the past.
That's Robert Hill, former Environment Minister in the Howard government, speaking with RN's Robin Williams. It's 12 minutes to 9 on Breakfast.